From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the show, friends. It's Tuesday, right? Matt, what day is it? Tuesday?
According to my computer, it's Tuesday. I always trust the computer.
All right. Welcome, guys. We got a lot of fun stuff tonight. It's going to be a great show. I know I say that every night, but it's because it's true.
Tonight you really mean it.
Yeah, but tonight I mean it every night. We got a great show every single night. All we do all day, when Matt and I get up separately, we get up every day and we say, how can we make this show great for you? We're emailing back and forth and we're coming up with stuff and just, you know, we're just having a fun time doing it. So it's a fun show. I think you guys are going to enjoy it. I don't want to set the standard too high. But it's whatever. It's pretty high.
Under promise and over deliver.
No, man. Over promise and over deliver. That's what you got to do. All right. Now, when we do our stories at the top of the show, these are not always stories that everyone is interested in. These are stories I'm interested in. But my name's on the show, so we can do whatever I want. And these are my stories. So I hope you like it. All right. This first story is about Target. You guys shop at Target. Matt, do you shop at Target?
I do shop at Target.
All right. Target is closing two stores here locally, and they are citing crime and safety as the reason. That's very sad.
You don't say.
Yeah, the company says it's going to close two stores. They're going to close one in Ballard. If you're listening to this from outside of the market, these are big, big stores for Target in the city. They're kind of in the main shop. Like one is especially a very wealthy shopping area. The University District is right by UW. It's got a bunch of really nice shops near there, and you know, obviously it's where everybody goes to buy their stuff, especially back-to-school stuff. College students love Target, right? Young people love Target. So Ballard is one place that they're shutting Target down. Another one they're going to shut down in the University District. These will both close October 21st. The company has said in a press release, we cannot continue operating these stores because theft and organized retail crime are threatening the safety of our team and guests and contributing to unsustainable business performance. That's really tough. And it's, you know, if you've been to any shop lately, if you've been into any store, especially in any big city, you understand what this looks like. You've seen Rite Aids, you've seen Targets, you've seen...
Half of everything is locked up now.
Half of everything is locked up, right? It's all locked up. Used to be, when I was a kid, when I was growing up, nothing was locked up. And then at a certain point, around the 90s maybe, they started locking up alcohol. And in my neck of the woods, that's the only thing that's still locked up. But if you live in the big cities, now you got to hit that little button anytime you want them to stop by. And that gets, I'll tell you what, you want to make a shopping experience even worse, make people hit little buttons every time they need to get something. You want to go in and get some Q-tips, boop, wait for a service person. You want to get Cheez-Its, boop, hit the little button. It used to be just for whiskey and vodka, and now it's for everything. It's like, tiny little items you have to, it's behind plexiglass. It makes the shopping experience depressing. They did this for baby formula too. That's a really depressing one. Baby formula is locked up everywhere. Even in my neck of the woods, baby formula is locked up. And that's one thing where you just go like, oh, that's sad. Because the people who are stealing baby formula, those are hungry kids. And kids got to eat. So that's very sad. This is part of a plan across the U.S., Target's going to be closing seven stores in the U.S. in the coming weeks, including three in Portland, two in San Francisco and New York, and these two in Seattle. So that's a real bummer. Let's see. The downtown – who said this? Renee Sundy with the Washington Retail Association said – it's easy to look at retail store closures as single incidents, but the reality is that it is yet another domino falling as progress to address safety issues for employees, customers, and the general public is slow. And that's totally true. And she went on to say the announcement today illustrates the more urgency is needed, that more urgency is needed at the state and local levels to reach common sense solutions and craft laws that fulfill the promise of the government's top priority, which is, any guesses? To keep people safe. Public safety. That's the government's top priority. If you keep people safe, everything else kind of figures itself out. It really does. She says, as we work on policies to make our community safer, we will continue our collaboration with local officials like City Attorney Ann Davidson, King County Prosecuting Attorney Lisa Mannion, law enforcement officials, as our retail members and our retail members and many others who have shown a willingness to find a middle ground on policies that put public safety first. So yeah, this is interesting. Target's shutting down in these two stores. That's a real bummer because if you like to shop at Target, then you got to find a new place to shop. But it also says something bad about the community, which is that it's maybe not the safest area for people. And that's when people start moving out and then more businesses have to close and it's a domino effect. So that's no fun. All right. Next in Jake's top stories. This was kind of a bizarre piece of audio. As you guys know on this show, we like to laugh at politicians and we like to laugh at politicians when they do dumb things. So in Canada, they have something called the House of Commons, and the Speaker of the House of Commons is a guy named Anthony Rota. He recently had the opportunity to honor a World War II hero, a real-life World War II hero. Now, this is really cool because honoring World War II heroes, I should say, is really cool because there's just not many of them left. That was a war that was a long time ago. Anybody who was fighting in World War II or even alive during World War II is getting on in years, especially people. There's younger people who are kids during World War II or born right around that time. You know, baby boomers are a huge result of World War II soldiers coming home and starting families and living the American dream. But to find a soldier who's still alive puts them near 100 often. And they're just not usually with us that long, especially men. Like, men just don't usually live that long. So in Canada, they found a guy who was still alive. This is an amazing story. He's 98 years old. It's got kind of a dark turn, which I'll get to in a second. So he's 98 years old, and the House of Commons, I'm just giddy. I can't even wait to play this audio for you. It's very fun, but we shouldn't laugh. Let's just enjoy it, and then we'll laugh in a second. Okay, so the Speaker of the House of Commons stands up, and imagine what this looks like. If you've ever seen British Parliament, it looks very similar in Canada. They have this, it's not so different than what our system of government looks like here. It's a little bit different, but it's not a ton different. They're all dressed really nice. They're wearing black robes, and they're honoring a man standing up in the upper level. And he stands up, and they all clap for him, and they all stand in unison. They turn around and clap, clap, clap. Let me just play the clip. I don't need to keep describing it for you. Oh, let me turn my computer on. That's my fault. All right, here we go.
We have here in the chamber today Ukrainian Canadians.
Oh, that's the other thing. Ukrainian president, as you know, Ukraine is in the news a lot lately because they're fighting a war with Russia. Ukrainian president Volodymyr Zelensky was in Canada, probably meeting with people to talk about money. And he was in the room when this guy, who's a former Ukrainian citizen, I guess, or fought in Ukraine years ago, now lives in Canada. He's this war hero.
Ukrainian-Canadian world veteran from the Second World War who fought the Ukrainian independence against the Russians and continues to support the troops today.
Wow.
Even at his age of 98.
Amazing. Everyone's clapping. You can hear. Honoring this war hero from World War II, 98 years old. He's standing there. He's got, I don't know if it's tears rolling down his face, but you can tell he's moved. I mean, think about the service that you did for your country, your countrymen. God, what would that be? Like 80 years ago now? Almost 80 years ago? And now, all these years later, you're being honored in front of the president of Ukraine. And a lot of real important people in Canada who I don't know.
His name is Yaroslav Hunka. And I was going to say he's in the gallery, but I think you beat me to that.
You sure did,
but
you
I'm
old
very
man.
Proud to say that he is from North Bay and from my riding of Nipissing-Temiskaming.
That sounds like a Canadian joke. We don't get those jokes here. Do you get that, Matt?
I do not.
Does that make any sense to you? Let's hear
that
one more
time. I don't think their sense of humor crosses the border.
No, it doesn't. Let's hear that one more time.
From my riding of Nipissing-Temiskaming.
That doesn't make no sense to me.
Oh, wait. His riding, that's like his district. So he's saying these towns in my riding, apparently.
All right, let's hear that one more time. Let's see if Matt's right. Is Matt right?
But I think you beat me to that. But I'm very proud to say that he is from North Bay and from my riding of Nipissing-Temiskaming.
I can't make heads or tails of that.
Yeah, he's saying from my riding, so from that locale.
from my writing,
like riding a horse.
They still ride horses in Canada.
Is called a riding in Canada, like his political district that he's from. Like we'd say, well, District 5, District 10, whatever.
So they still judge districts by horses in Canada? Man, that is a tiny little country. It's actually a huge country.
He's a Ukrainian hero, a Canadian hero, and we thank him for all his service.
Oh, thank you. Tell you what, somebody ever thanks me like that, I know I'm going to shed a tear. Let's learn a little bit about this Yaroslav Hunka. He's 98 years old. He got a standing ovation. During World War II, Yaroslav Hunka, again, 98 years old, he served in the 14th Waffen SS Grenade. Wait a minute, SS? Oh, he's a Nazi? What? Yeah.
I did not see that coming.
Yeah, nice. Aegon, Canadian House of Commons Speaker's face, apparently. So this guy is a Nazi. They're honoring a Nazi in the Canadian House of Commons. Everybody stands up and gives him a standing ovation. And he wasn't just any Nazi. He was an SS. If you know anything about World War II history, you had to be extra dedicated to be an SS soldier. So there was instantly calls after somebody Google searched. I guess they've just gotten Google. I don't know what Google's called in Canada, just Google A. But it was somebody Google searched in Canada. This guy, looking him up, who's being honored on national TV in front of the, you know, Canadian House of Commons. And they go, huh, is that the same guy? Yeah, he's an SS soldier Nazi. Okay. So there was instantly calls for the House of Commons Speaker Anthony Rota to resign. He's obviously reluctant to do so, but finally gave in to the pressure.
I want to apologize.
This is a quick turn. Just remember, this is what he sounded like a couple days ago.
We have here in the chamber today Ukrainian Canadian world veteran, and we thank him for all his service. Thank you.
Called him a hero, all that stuff. And then this is him when he finally had to make his announcement that he's stepping down.
I want to apologize for what happened and really tell you that the intention was not to embarrass this house. My sincere apologies to the House, to each and every one of you who are in the House today, and to all Canadians for having been put through this.
Yeah, so he resigned after that. That is embarrassing. Do a little Google search before you honor SS Nazis in your House of Commons and give him a standing ovation. It's kind of embarrassing. All right, in the next of my most interesting stories to get to, let's see here. We only have time for one more. What's it going to be? All right. All right, let's play The View. The ladies on The View did not like a recent New Yorker cartoon. The cover was, you've seen these covers. They're caricatures of politicians generally or famous people. And this one had a bunch of politicians on the cover. And you have Mitch McConnell, who is standing there. You have President Biden. You have Dianne Feinstein. And you have Nancy Pelosi. All of these politicians... if you are following the show at all, or if you just know them anecdotally, are not young people, and they're all using walkers. And so the joke is that, you know, they're all very old. It's not a joke. It's like, it is what it is. They're all very old, and they're politicians, and they have not had super graceful moments lately, and maybe they should step aside. But it's a big part of the conversation that's happening right now in the country. When is too old to still serve in your publicly elected office? So the ladies on The View did not take too kindly to the cover of this article.
There's more chatter in the media about candidates' mental and physical decline. Axios is reporting that Biden's team is concerned he might fall again. The New Yorker cover has Biden and other leaders using walkers. And when it comes to you-know-who...
I love this. They flash the, when they do stories sometimes on The View, they will show a quick, for the viewing audience to know what they're talking about for context, they show the cover. And as soon as they do that, the audience in the View audience, you can hear there, starts to giggle and kind of laugh. They instantly take it down. It's up there for like 2 seconds. Now, normally they would show it for a while, but since it's not flattering and they don't like it, they instantly take it down.
There doesn't seem to be any concern about his decline.
I hate that cover. Why do they have to put Nancy Pelosi in there? Nancy Pelosi, if you watch any of her interviews, she's as sharp as a tack, as they say.
Well,
80% of the constituency.
Because yeah. it goes with the mythology that these folks are too old to be doing what they're doing, which is a bit insulting to people who are over 70.
Yeah.
Who are.
Is it, though? Is it insulting for people who are over 70? And I'm not trying to be insensitive to people over 70. I have a lot of people over 70 in my life that I love, like really love. The closest people in my life, mentors that I respect, who I go to and I seek counsel from. They have wisdom, people, and they have wisdom way beyond my years because I'm nowhere near that age because that's old. But we're not even talking about 70-year-olds. We're talking about 80-plus, 85-plus. In Dianne Feinstein's case, I think she's 90, 91. Mitch McConnell, 81. Biden, 80. Going to be 86 if he's elected again. Nancy Pelosi, 83.
You know, who are actually doing their jobs and able to do it. And I keep asking, aside from, you've fallen, I've fallen.
But I fell when I was 20. I always fell. I'm a klutz.
You know.
I fell the other day in my kitchen because the rubber of my shoe hit the floor and I went flying. What has that got to do with age?
Apparently the...
What's that got to do with... I don't know. I don't fall a ton. Matt, do you fall a ton?
Not a lot.
Yeah, I'm not falling a ton right now. This is not funny, guys. We're not laughing at old people. We're laughing at the silly notion, the ridiculously silly notion that you should still be serving in public office when you're 91 years old. Or we played that audio of that judge the other day who's a circuit court judge who's 96. Take a vacation. Go take a rest. 96.
Most people want to retire.
Of course.
These people don't.
96.
Apparently, this is the sign. I feel like we're in a cartoon when we talk about stuff like this. I understand people are concerned that people are getting older.
Yeah.
But it's like, stop with the beating it in the head.
Yeah.
It's just, I feel like I'm getting hit over the head with it. And it's pissing me off because I'm getting older and I'm failing for lots of different reasons. You know, things are happening.
I think she was expecting a laugh line there. Nobody laughed because the truth sometimes hurts.
And I'm not... near these guys, well, maybe I am, nearer to a lot of these ages. And I understand the point. What's the solution? Is Biden not doing his job?
But
that's the question I have.
Is
he not doing his job even though he falls down on the floor?
I don't know. Even though he falls on the floor, I don't know. Okay, so I have two clips, quick clips to play. This is Biden. We played this one a few times. I don't need to beat you over the head with this one, as Whoopi says.
So the best way to get something done, if you hold near and dear to you that you like to be able to... Anyway. We're going to get a lot done.
We're going to get a lot done. But then yesterday he was at this forum talking about this new Pacific Islands Forum, which is an initiative they're going to do with the Pacific Islands, and he was announcing it, but he had trouble pronouncing it.
So today I'm pleased to announce we're working with Congress to invest $40 billion in our Pacific Islands Infrastructure Initiative. We call it the PPI, anyway, it doesn't matter what we call it, but that's what it is. I was going to get back to acronyms, and I'm going to withstand not doing that.
I don't know. I don't know, guys. Maybe we should. I don't know. Maybe he's fine. Maybe he's fine. We shouldn't even ask questions about age. I don't know.
Doesn't matter what we call it, but that's what it is.
That's what it is. All right, we got a lot more coming up on Cairo Nights.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
All right, welcome back to Cairo Nights. I have a very special guest with me, and he's going to talk sports. But before we get into that, we get to play this.
Score Time with Skorheim.
Yeah. See what I did there?
that a new open.
Yeah,
for
yeah,
you,
yeah. Man. No, no, we like do it. So much sports now on the show.
I like it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Aaron Granillo. Thank you so much for coming in.
Happy to be here.
You know all about the Mariners. I haven't known anything about the Mariners for about 20 years.
Yep.
So tell us about the Mariners. Where are we at? Last time we talked, I haven't checked in with the Mariners in a while, but last time we talked, they had one of the best months they've ever had in baseball.
Yeah.
And it was really exciting. Basically, this team is going to win the World Series. So I assume we're still on the same path. Where are we at, Aaron?
Well, then September happened and... we're looking like we're not going to win the World Series at this point. It's been a rough month for the Mariners. Yeah, they've only had a few wins this month, and they've come against losing teams. Our last 10 losses or so in a row have been against teams with better records than us. That includes last night against the hated, despised Houston Astros. It was a rough, rough go for the Mariners last night. They were facing Justin Verlander. And if anybody knows who Justin Verlander is.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you know who Kate Upton is?
Yes.
He's married to Kate Upton. It's another reason to hate the guy.
Yeah.
But anyways, he has the Mariners' number.
He's good at pitching,
he's
right?
Very good. He's won two Cy Youngs. He came off of Tommy John surgery last year and still won the Cy Young. But the deal is, he's 40, and he shouldn't be that dominant. But he was dominant last night. He went into the ninth inning, was taken out in the ninth. But 7 out of the 8 innings he completed were 1-2-3. Mariners just swinging and missing left and right. And it was a critical game last night. It's a critical game tonight. So where things stand, we are now a game and a half behind the Houston Astros. They've played one more game than us with 6 games left. So we have a chance to win tonight and win tomorrow against the Houston Astros and retake the lead, have a half game lead over the Astros for the final wild card spot. Pretty much our last chance of making the postseason.
So we have some audio. This is who's talking here, and what did he say?
Scott Servais, the Mariners manager.
All right, and this is him basically saying that last night did not go well.
We got beat. I mean, there's no way around it. Verlander dealt 7 of 8 innings. We're 1-2-3. Certainly had a shot there early in the game with the bases loaded. And when you get a chance against a pitcher like that early, you have to jump on it or take advantage of it, and we weren't able to do it.
Bases were loaded, by the way, with Julio Rodriguez up to bat with one out in the third inning. And what does Julio Rodriguez do? He grounds into a double play.
Does he really?
And then we didn't see another runner on base until the ninth inning.
And then that was it.
That was it. Rally killer. And then that's the most frustrating part about last night's game is you had your best pitcher on the mound, Luis Castillo. He gives up a couple home runs, 5 runs and 6 innings, just didn't have it. And then Julio Rodriguez, your best hitter, 0-for last night.
And the Mariners
night.
Pitching has been really good.
That's been their calling card all season. That is what has kept them alive. And they need a strong outing tonight from George Kirby, who was an all-star this season. He's their second best pitcher behind Castillo. You need a gem. I mean, you need to win tonight. If not, your odds of making the postseason are probably down to 10%. Right now, according to Fangraphs, they're at 27%. If they win tonight, they probably go up to about 50%, right? So, I mean,
it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's crunch time.
But they do need to win, and that's what Servais.
Scott Servais.
Servais said.
You need to win the series. That's just where we're at. We still have a chance to do that. We have to come in tomorrow and get after it. We have to do a whole lot more offensively, obviously, against their starter and see where that takes us. Really a game at a time right now. You can't look any farther ahead. We need to win tomorrow's game. That's just where we're at in our season.
So 6 games left.
Yeah.
And is every game a must win?
Yes and no, because you're playing the Astros right now, which is the team ahead of you. You overtake them. Then you have 4 more games against the Texas Rangers, who just swept you in Texas. The Astros have 3 games left after us. So let's just say everything works out perfectly for the Mariners, and we beat the Astros the next 2 games. We're a half a game up. And then let's just say the first game against Texas, we lose. So we're tied with the Astros in that scenario. We have 3 games left against the Rangers. They have 3 games left against the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Astros do. So, they could stink it up in Arizona and we could beat the Rangers and all would be good. The good news is we still do control our own destiny. You win them all, you're in the postseason.
Sure.
You don't win them all, you still have a chance to win the postseason.
If the Astros mess up.
Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, if you lose tonight, your odds are not good. I mean, the Astros don't have to win them all in that case, and you kind of do.
That's
where we are.
That's just a bad spot to be in.
It is. I'm so frustrated.
I was just going to say, I'm trying to describe for the audience.
Yeah.
You care a lot about this.
I do.
You're a big Mariners fan. I hear you around the office all the time. You love talking about the Mariners. It's your passion.
Yeah.
And what does this mean to you? What would it mean to you if they got into the playoffs?
Oh, my gosh, man. I just want a chance to get there. And that's the most frustrating part about where we are right now. We made the postseason last year, you know, ended the drought, the 21 season drought. This year we had all the expectations, and that's what's different about this season, is that you had expectations.
Yeah, last year was kind of like just this happy
like,
bonus.
Like, let's do it. Come on, like, we got a chance. Let's actually do it. This year, they had a hype video before the season started with Scott Service on a whiteboard saying, win the AL West, check mark. You know, make the postseason, check mark. Win the whole damn thing, check mark. That was the mission this year. Management, upper management, the general manager, sold us that. They said that we made moves in the offseason that were going to put a championship contending team on the field. It looked like that for a month, but the rest of the season, they've been mediocre. That's just the reality.
Yeah.
They haven't gotten over the hump. And that's what the most frustrating part is. I was talking to Jack Stein earlier today, who's not a baseball fan at all. And he had sort of a kind of a dark humor about it. He said it's kind of like your absent father coming back into the picture.
Oh, and he's making a play date with you.
And then canceling on you.
And then you end up sitting on the front porch.
Yeah. So if you're not a sports fan, maybe you have an absent father. That's how you can relate to it.
Luckily, I had a great dad, so I don't need to worry about how that feels. All right. Well, you know what? We're rooting for the Mariners. Oof. We're hoping they win.
They're on national television tonight.
So if they win tonight, that's good. One more step in the right direction.
Indeed.
So Mariners, thank you. And thank you so much for coming in and helping us understand what's going on.
Yeah, happy to do it.
All right, we're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you about possibly the dumbest TikTok trend you've ever heard about in your entire life. You're not going to want to miss this one. I promise you. We can all laugh at it together. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to the show. All right, as I teased right before we were last with you, this is a new segment I'm going to start doing on the show. I haven't come up with the whatever it's going to sound like. I haven't come up with the sounder or whatever we call these things. But it's going to be called "What Are the Kids TikToking About?" Because there's always these TikTok trends that kids are doing. Do you guys know what TikTok is? Boy, this makes me sound old. TikTok is an app that's on your phone, and it's a really convenient way for the Chinese government to spy on you. And what it does, essentially, is it makes you addicted to doing stupid things. And in this case, this is called, and Matt, I'm gonna read you the details of this new TikTok trend. What are the kids TikToking about? Matt, here it is. There's a new TikTok trend out there called bone smashing, which is exactly as it sounds. Where users, particularly men, hit their face repeatedly with a blunt object.
Dum, 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 dum.
Now, the goal of smashing your face with a blunt object is to create small fractures in your bones enough so that the bone has growth in that desired area.
Dum, 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 dum.
Does that sound like something you would ever do?
No, it does not.
So in these videos, and this is not a joke, I watched a few and they're just... There's no other way to describe them.
Dum, 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 dum.
Just totally stupid and dumb. A young man, I don't know how old these guys are, but they have very, they look like they're wearing makeup, quite frankly. They're very like youthful looking guys, and they're hitting their faces with and they have a very defined cheekbones, and they're hitting their faces with like tack hammers, you know, the like little like sewing hammers.
Yeah,
I don't know where they got sewing hammers, but they're hitting their faces where they're just. And the goal is, you're trying to create these tiny little hairline fractures, and then your bones grow in between. I guess I don't know. This is a process. Known
so, in addition to being dumb, these people are also vain.
Well, yeah, no, it starts with vanity, and it plays out as stupidity. So those people on TikTok. Those invested in this trend, they believe that it works because of something called Wolf's Law. It's a 19th century theory that bones adapt to repeated stresses that they endure. Now, this is according to WebMD. I'm not this smart. I had to look this up. While the theory is true in some instances, the corporation noted that it is not the only way to create stronger bones. The trend is believed to have started somewhere else and has since traveled to platforms like TikTok, where men have posted videos of themselves Lightly, it says, hitting themselves in the face with a hammer.
Dum, 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 dum.
Sometimes they use a massage gun or even just their fists. They just ball up their fists and punch themselves in the face. This is a real thing. And I don't know what it is about TikTok, but people tend to do these things and it just, I don't know, it's dumb. So that's your dose today of what the kids are TikToking about.
Dum, 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 dum.
All right, here's another quick story we have to get to before the break. Do you guys know who the energy secretary of the country is? I didn't either. Her name is Jennifer Granholm. Here she is talking about wind farms and electric energy and how great that is.
It's very exciting that Rhode Island is right at the forefront of offshore wind. This is the poster child of how we want to do this. We want to build those products here. We want to stamp them made in America. We want to build them with union labor. We want to make sure that we export them around the world and we want to use them here. So that's what this president wants to do. There's $100 million for wind energy R&D, $2.5 billion to speed transmission expansion. It really does represent a gust of job growth throughout the country.
Oh, I get it. A gust. It's a wind farm. Wind farms rely on wind, so I get the joke. So she has come under a little bit of heat because she did this road trip. They were trying to highlight electric vehicles, and she did this road trip, this four-day road trip that they were highlighting. And as it turns out, it wasn't as easy to travel. We've done a few stories about road trips and electric vehicles. We don't really have the infrastructure in our country to do that. And so Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm was trying to highlight and trying to like pump up electric energy and how great it is. So she took a trip for 4 days in an electric vehicle. The problem was that along the route, because these charging stations are few and far between, they couldn't count on having access to them when they needed them. So what they did apparently, and were getting in trouble for, her staffers actually went ahead of her in gas-powered vehicles and blocked the EV stations so that she could park her electric car. So one electric car is followed by a fleet of government vehicles powered by fossil fuels. I don't have to tell you the obvious parts of that. So they're actually looking into her now. The House Oversight Committee, which is run by a Republican, they actually sent a letter to the Energy Secretary's office, and they are looking into this incident. And they said, using an internal combustion engine, your department staff blocked off an EV-only charging station so that you could stay on a schedule, which was painstakingly mapped out ahead of time because of limited, slow, and non-working EV chargers along your route. In the sweltering Georgia heat, your staff's action caused a family with an infant child and a low charge in their EV battery to actually have to call the police because this gas vehicle was just blocking it. And they were just blocking the vehicle. And anyway, they went on to say they had to call the police out of an urgency while waiting at the charging station. You ultimately blamed your staff for poor judgment while testifying about preventing other EV vehicles from charging. This taxpayer-funded publicity stunt illustrates yet again how out of touch this administration is with the consequences of the policies it has unleashed on everyday Americans. Anyway, just an interesting story. We'll see what happens with that. But if you're out there driving around an electric vehicle, make sure you have plenty of juice, I guess, when you get to your next charging station, because those are apparently few and far between. Okay, we have a ton coming up in the show. That was only 1 hour, guys. We get two more of these, so I hope you're ready. Next hour, we have the news roundup. You know how fun that is. We're going to meet you over there. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.